welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Good evening.
Right, so this week we'll be looking back at the two games last week, Dumbarton away from home and the home game to Clyde. We'll hear from manager Jim McAnally, as well as Scott Brown, the captain. And we'll look ahead to the next week's game against Forfa. So, Martin, how's your week been?
It's been a busy week so far, certainly, yourself.
It's been not too bad, eventful. Just Easter around the corner as well, which is just makes the year kind of go by a little bit quicker.
Yeah, I know. I was speaking to someone today at work, and we're saying how quick the year's come round already, that we're waiting into April. So, yeah, although we've been in lockdown for most of it, it's certainly been a quick couple of months.
Seems like we've been locked down for about 10 years, but hey-ho. Well, should start on a positive note. The SPFL have announced the dates for next season to start. So we have dates. We know when the season's going to start. However, there was no kind of indication of whether or not that would be with or without fans.
I'd be optimistic that there would be fans back in come the July or August period. I think the vaccinations that are being rolled out, along with the declining numbers, I think we can be optimistic, although cautiously at that. I certainly think numbers of some capacity would be allowed in for sure.
And it looks in all kind of intents and purposes, and looks on paper, that we're going to have a normal season. We haven't had one of those for a couple of years now, but it looks as though we're going to get the Betfred Cup, or the League Cup, I should say, back to the early season in July, and then the season kicking off at the end of July. So, yeah, it looks like we're almost through the worst, and as you said, we're at a point now where we can be optimistic of, you know, getting started next season with fans again.
Yeah, I think when we got the restart a couple of weeks ago, I thought that was a positive sign that they were going to conclude this season. And as you said, we've got the dates for next season. We've also got the Betfred Cup. And like you, I think it'll sort of go back in line with what we've had in previous seasons with the Betfred at the start of the season, at the end of July, and then the season kicking off in August. And we're all hoping that there's going to be fans back in the stadium, because as we've mentioned numerous occasions now, the football's not really much if you haven't got the fans in it to watch it.
Yeah, and a lot of clubs kind of depend on the income of the fans as well. So, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed that come the summertime, we're looking forward to a full season with fans. And I think that would just help everybody get over what's been a horrendous 18 months.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's now light at the end of the tunnel. There's still, I say, a little way to go in terms of just getting that clarification from, obviously, the government and then the SPFL that need to ratify it all. But certainly a lot more optimistic now than what we maybe were a couple of months ago. I know that we maybe hoped, you know, back in August last year that fans might have gotten in for the start of the season. That soon became apparent wasn't going to happen. So I certainly think starting next season, as you rightly pointed out, a lot of clubs are, you know, they depend on the money coming in from the supporters, season ticket sales, and, you know, what money they'll spend in the ground as well. So I think everybody, fans, clubs, owners, chairmen, you know, the whole lot, everyone will be hoping there's fans back in sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so let's hope so. So let's get on to all matters Peterhead then. We'll talk first about the Dumbarton game last Saturday. It came off the back of the Scottish Cup defeat on the Tuesday night against Stenhousemuir. So I don't know, we kind of spoke about it last week. It maybe wasn't too much of a shock, but it was maybe a blow. So then to go to a place like Dumbarton was going to prove difficult, even more difficult after a defeat like that.
Yeah, I think the Stenhousemuir game, it was one of them games where we created a couple of chances, but nothing really stand out apart from the couple of headers and the Ben Armour chance as well. But it gave us that maybe reality check after the Airdrie game as well. I know it was the first game back, but then, as you said, going to Dumbarton, the defeat to Stenhousemuir was maybe a blessing. It gives that kick up the backside to think, well, you know, we're not just going to come back after a restart and win every game or play really good football. So going to Dumbarton was always going to be a tough game. It proved to be that, but thankfully we came out and hit the right side of a good result.
And on another positive note, there was virtually a full squad to choose from. Obviously, Alan Cook and Gary Fraser are long-term injuries, but apart from those two, everybody else was fit and free from suspension. So you had guys like Stephen Boyd back and Simon Ferry back. And incredibly, there was nine on the bench, which is unheard of, especially even just in the time that we've been doing this podcast.
Yeah, I think we'd be hard pushed to get in on one hand the amount of times that we've had a full complement on the bench. We have said that Peter has got a small squad like most clubs just now, but injuries and suspensions really seem to hit us quite hard at the moment. So to get nine players on the bench, and Jim utilised the bench on Saturday as well, so it's good to see that he's got the full complement there, but he's also utilising it as well.
And he went with Ben Armour up front. Obviously, that was a decision that obviously boded well as the game kind of progressed. But he gives you, and we, it's no secret, we're fans of Ben Armour. We like him, and we think he's got a good future. But he gives you something different, as opposed to what you would get from an Isaac Lane or a Stephen Boyd or even Alan Cook, who was played up front at times this season.
Yeah, I think Ben Armour, he's got that physique, but he's also got that pace in behind, so he gives you the sort of best of both worlds, so to speak, that he's quite happy to take the ball in front of him, in the feet, into his chest, and try and link up the play. But he's also quite willing if there's a high line to stretch the defence. I think the only player maybe similar would have been Isaac Lane, but his hold-up play was poor at the best of times. So Ben certainly gives you that option where you can come short or go long. I think that adds a certain dynamic for us that we can change the game pretty quickly with just the one striker up top.
It wasn't the prettiest of games. It wasn't the full of chances. I think first half it was very little in terms of chances, even for both sides. But it was kind of one of those games where you felt that the first goal was going to be vital.
Yeah, and in so many games this season, even you know before lockdown and now, the first goal in most of the games will be important, because clubs realise how big that first goal in the game is. Thankfully, it came for us, but it just shows that the fine margins that you've mentioned previously in podcasts, the fine margins between the teams, and it shows that the one goal can really change the game.
I think the only real chance we had in the first half was Kieran Freeman or the defender hitting the post towards the end. I guess it goes in, Kieran Freeman claims it. Because it hit the post, it maybe came off the defender if you ask him. But that was probably as close as anybody was going to get to a goal at that early stage.
Yeah, as you just said a minute ago there, it wasn't the best of games. Chances were at a premium. It's a good ball in. I think it was Ben Armour put the ball in for Freeman at the back post or the defender. But again, it's those fine margins. It's hit the post, but it could quite easily have hit the post and ricocheted off the keeper, or it could have gone in off the post. So fine margins, and it's that little breaks that maybe in previous seasons you didn't get. You know, we're creating chances. Again, maybe, like I said, previous season, we wouldn't be creating as much as what we're doing now. It just is getting the guys to put them in the back of the net. You can't rely on one person to get the goals. Everyone needs to chip in. And if we get somebody who can score out a couple more goals, especially our midfielders, then I think we can be positive for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so early on, the goal did come from Ben Armour. Terrific goal. He's described it as the best goal he's scored. I know he hasn't scored many so far, but I mean, if he continues to score goals like that, they will be memorable. But we should mention Hamish Ritchie's involvement in the play.
Yeah, rightly so. Ben's got the credit for a fantastic goal. But as we touched on last night, Hamish Ritchie's pass has sort of gone under the radar with how good it actually is. He's involved in the picking up of the loose pass in midfield, and he's looped up and it's not just a hopeful ball forward. He's picked out Ben Armour in the wide area. It's a good touch by Ben. He's cut inside, and as you said, a really good finish. And by his own words, it's the best he's scored, and he'll struggle to score many better than that, that's for sure.
It shows the composure that he's got, and shows that there is a goal scorer in him, because it would have been easy for him to take that ball and, you know, almost drive for the byline and try and get a left footed cross in, but he knows that he's up there primarily on his own, so unless he's going to get runners from midfield, the only option he's got really is to cut inside and then take that effort on. But he's taken it in a way that, you know, if the keeper does save it, the chances are he's going to palm it out to an on-rushing Peterhead player or from midfield. So he's got that kind of intelligence to make sure he gets it on target as well.
I think his confidence as well. Again, he maybe... He doesn't score week in, week out, but he's always there or thereabouts, you know, in the chances. If Peterhead are creating a few chances, likely Ben's involved in some part of it. I think quite easy, the position that he's at as well, it's been quite easy to snatch at the chance. But as you rightly pointed out, he's taken it in a way that if the keeper saves it, he could palm it onto a non-Russian player, or at worst, the keeper's going to save it and put it out for a corner. And again, we've still got that attacking threat, which 3-4 seconds prior to that, we were, you know, what, Campton were our own half, and it's a good ball by Hamish to allow Ben to take the shot. So again, there's positive signs, and you know, Ben up top on his own, maybe slightly 18 months ago being sceptical of that, but he's certainly bulked out through the last year, and again, it gives you that different dynamic up top.
And as we said many times as well, that a fit Ben Armour could be the key to how we finish the rest of this season.
Yeah, I think, as I said, he's involved in most things that we do good. I think if you can keep him fit, I know that there's times there's concerns over his physique with a hamstring injury. Obviously, if you do your hamstring, that's out for about 3 to 4 weeks. So keeping him fit and managing him like Jim is doing at the moment. And I think Jim realised how important he is as well, that his teammates do that also. So again, keeping him fit, as you said, will be vital for how we sort of finish the season.
Weirdly, after the goal went in, it seemed to kind of almost lift the players slightly, because after that, there was really only one way traffic. The ball was just heading towards the Dumbarton goalkeeper for much of the second half, and there was, again, one or two opportunities, but by and large, Peterhead enjoyed much more of the possession than they did first half.
Yeah, second half we sort of controlled the game without really doing too much to hurt Dumbarton. I think also Dumbarton were quite happy for us to have the ball. If we weren't going to punish them, I think Hamish Ritchie, I think it was Hamish, could be wrong. He got to the byline close to the keeper and he's had a shot. Might have been one of them situations if he just held it for a second, maybe check for a runner coming into the box. But yeah, overall I thought it was a good performance given on the back of the Stenhouse Muir defeat. But I also think that the Dumbarton game is almost a test of their character as well, because it would have been quite easy to go do it in Dumbarton. You know, if you'd lost the game, you can sort of wallow on that Stenhouse Muir defeat as well. But the fact that we've kicked off again with the League One campaign and we've gotten two wins from it, I thought the guys did well on Saturday. And Dumbarton's not an easy place to go in. For Ben Armour to go there, score a wonderful goal, come away with 3 points, I think we're all delighted with it.
I think it's a sign of maturity as well that, you know, a game like that last season that you probably would have ended up drawing or even losing. So it's good to see them that they're able to grind out those kind of results. And you know, if you're going to win 10 games 1-0, then it's still the same amount of points if you win them,
yeah,
like, I know, 4-3 or something like that. So, you know, if you're going to grind out these kind of results, it's good to see.
Yeah, I mean, it was also good to see that Jim, whilst he says the performance is good, you know, there's still more to come from them. So even though we've got the win, it's not just a case of, oh, he's delighted because it's a win. Yeah, we're delighted for the 3 points, but the performance level, he still feels there are more to give. I think that'll come over the next couple of weeks. You know, we've seen before, sometimes we'll get a draw and the players aren't happy. So again, it's that mindset and mentality has maybe changed over the last couple of years where, rather than going to a place like Dumbarton and thinking we're happy with a draw, they've gone down there with the intent of winning the game. and it could prove vital at the end of the season, these points that we're picking up.
So it was 6 out of 6 after the restart, which, given the way the fixtures were, you know, home to Airdrie and away to Dumbarton, you were probably bitten the hand off to get those 6.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we... I think the Airdrie game was sort of a bonus. I think also somebody said to you, you'll get a win at Dumbarton and a point against Airdrie, or 4 from 6, whatever way you want to look at it, would have been happy. So to get 6 out of 6, you said, were fantastic. And again, it makes us looking up the table rather than looking below, because in the previous couple of years, we've been sort of been scrambling about the bottom, just flirting with a relegation playoff. So as it was on Saturday night, the table looked a lot healthier, and we're looking up rather than down.
Certainly was. We was looking up, and you know, just it was just goal difference that was keeping us away from third place.
Yeah, but again, it shows you, as we've said, how tight the league is, and these 1-0 and 2-1 wins, you know, they're important, because as what was it, 2 goals or something, 3 perhaps, would have been sitting third. It just shows you the small margins and how important they are in such a short season and a small division.
So that was Saturday then. Before we get on to the next game on the against Clyde, there was a piece of business done prior to that game. Isaac Lane has joined or rejoined Dumbarton, I should say, on loan for the remainder of the season. It may have come as a surprise to some, maybe not to others, but what's kind of your thoughts on him going back on loan and how it came about?
Not surprised. I think the games that we've seen him, we were quite pleased when he initially arrived. We thought it was a really good signing, someone who knows the league well and would score his goals. I know he came in with a little injury as well, and you were always hoping he would kick on, but got to say the November-December period when he did start to play more regularly and coming off the bench and then starting games, I think, you know, we hear the comments that's made by the bench underneath us, and, you know, frustrating would be sort of sum it up. His character, a very laid back sort of guy, but every point's a prisoner in the division. You really want 110% effort from everyone. I just think at certain periods of games it was maybe questionable from him. He maybe didn't apply himself well enough or as much as Jim would have liked, so not a huge surprise to see him go, given the fact, as you said, with a full complement on the bench, Stephen Boyd's coming back, Ben Armour, Derek Lyle was also on the bench on Tuesday night, so not a great surprise for me that he's gone on loan.
I think frustrating would be a bit of an understatement, because I think you're underplaying it slightly, because as you said, we kind of hear what's been said by Jim and by Davey Nix, and I think he is one of that kind of players that probably would frustrate any manager, and I think he's one of those kind of players as well that it needs to be playing with a certain kind of manager who is maybe a little bit more patient. I think in all honesty, he hasn't performed to the level that was expected of him. You know, I think you know, he would have. I'm not going to say he was going to score 20 goals in a season, but I think in terms of his work rate, was probably his biggest critique. You know, for a big guy, yes, he should be able to be holding up the ball a little bit better, but he just kind of found at times that it was just bouncing off him. And not just bouncing off his foot, but it just, every body part, it just seemed to kind of bounce off him, and he just, it just didn't settle. Especially after the start he had with the 2 goals against Brechin in the League Cup. And you thought, well, here we go. This is a guy who's going to get us a few goals this season. But it just never materialised.
I think it's always difficult to criticise a person's work rate or their attitude and application. But I certainly think there was games where something would happen. A simple thing like closing down a defender, you know, Isaac would rather walk across the pitch rather than run. A lot of things like that don't go unnoticed by your manager and your coaching staff. You know, as you said, we've heard what the bench has said a few times, and they've been frustrated with him. But I think it's probably good for both parties that he's moved out on loan.
And I think we could... It's probably safe to say that he's probably played his last game for Peterhead as well.
I would think so. I would be surprised if we've seen him play for Peterhead again, especially the start of next season.
You know, his contract will go up at the end of this season.
I can't see him staying on.
No, I'd be surprised that if Jim was going to send him out on loan just to then re-sign him again for next season. I think if he was going to do that, he would have stuck with him for the remainder of this. But I just think that, you know, as you said, Stephen Boyd's back. Ben Armour's form has been terrific so far. You know, Derek Lyle's an option. Obviously, he's not going to play every game, but he is an option. Alan Cook previously, as I said, was playing up front. So, you know, you get too many different guys who are, you know, maybe potentially working a little bit harder than what Isaac is, and he just kind of slips down the pecking order even more.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because, as you said, he scored two goals against Brechin, and off the top of my head, I think he scored one from outside the box. In the mm-hmm. top corner, I remember with Bo saying to each other, you know, we've got a really good player on our hands here. And it's just never materialised. I certainly think there's a player there. It's weird, some players at certain clubs, it just doesn't seem to work, and it works for other clubs. So he might go back to Dumbarton and score a few goals in the rest of their campaign. You know, it pushes them up the table. I think for both parties, for Jim, Davy, Nick and Isaac, it's probably best that they've parted on loan for the meantime.
And hey, going by the reaction on the Dumbarton social media, they're quite happy to have him back. So, as you said, it's probably one of those things that's going to work out for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, in the very few times that we've had a conversation with Isaac, he seems a really nice chap, but just unfortunate for him and us that it hasn't worked out in his time at Peterhead.
Okay, right, so we've procrastinated long enough now, so we should mention...
That's the end of the episode.
That's it. We can finish it there. We should mention the Clyde game then. It's not good to lose, obviously, but it just seems to kind of stick in your craw a little bit more because it's Clyde, especially at home. But you know, given the form of the two sides, and given the form of Peterhead against Clyde in recent years, you could almost say it wasn't a guaranteed 3 points, but it really it's a game we might have felt we should have won.
Yeah, like you said, looking at the form of both teams, very frustrating evening last night. I think everything, the chances that we created or lack of chances and how, you know, stop start it was and how predictable we sort of became made it a frustrating evening. Clyde came up, it seemed like they had a game plan that executed it really well. A couple of fantastic goals, but it, you know, frustrating given how good we've been against them in recent years. I think when, you know, Jim McInally said one of his best performances for Peterhead came doing it Clyde the other season. So frustrating because I think we've got the better in the last couple of years. But for some reason last night it didn't click.
Just the one change from Saturday's game, which, you know, to us maybe surprised a little bit. He maybe would have been tempted to rotate things, but as we said prior to the game, it's maybe easier or better not to change a winning team.
Yeah, when the team came through and I seen there was one change, I was slightly surprised. I did think there would maybe be three or four, given the fact that, you know, we had a full complement on Saturday and for last night. But as you rightly said at the start of the commentary last night, do you really change a winning team if you don't need to? And probably not. You know, if it ain't broke, you don't try and fix it. So, again, it's probably frustrating that on the flip side of that, we haven't made much changes, and yet it was a completely different performance to the one against Dumbarton, where we looked, whilst we had possession, we looked quite confident in what we were doing. But last night, we just seemed to, almost like a lack of ideas, which is it's unusual for us.
I think the biggest surprise to us was the fact that David Goodwillie wasn't on the team sheet when we arrived, but kind of unbeknownst to us that he'd actually picked up an injury on Saturday at their game against Montrose. So it wasn't one of those kind of things that was maybe broadcast too early, but Yeah, when you've got a player of his quality and he's not in the team, you kind of think, oh, all right, let's maybe just going to be your day here. And actually, it turned out to be the opposite.
Yeah, it's maybe one of them when Goodwill is playing, the focus is on him and it allows others to come into the game. Last night, it maybe felt that there was no focal point for Clyde, so to speak, so where the team weren't quite sure of who to pick up and whatnot, which, I mean, as you said, were records good against Clyde, the form of both teams going into the game and the fact that they were missing David Goodwillie, arguably one of their most important players, it probably makes it even more frustrating the performance and the result.
Yeah, so, as you said, Clyde's kind of game plan, I mean, pretty early on, it was obvious what they were trying to do. For much of the first half, it was everybody behind the ball and literally everybody behind the ball. It was much like what happened to Airdrie the previous week, where obviously they got down to 10 men and they just went two banks of four. But with Clyde, pretty early on, that was their tactic, just get everybody behind the ball. And it almost said to Peterhead, right, you try and break us down.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They had their game plan. I think the fact that they got a draw against Montrose on the Saturday gave them a little bit of confidence. They've almost come up to Balmore saying, right, if you want to beat us, try and break us down. We're quite happy to soak up the pressure and hit you on the break. I certainly think last night that there was Hamish Ritchie and Ryan Conroy had acres of room on the wings, but for some reason we seemed quite reluctant to go wide. Jason Brown and Andy McDonald, when they did have the ball, seemed to try and go for that ball over the top to Ben Armour, who didn't really get a sniff with the two Clyde defenders. I thought they were really good last night, quite solid at the back. There was options on the wing. For some reason, I felt that was our best option to get in behind Clyde and stretch him, but we just never utilised it nearly enough, is what I think we should have.
I just wonder if, we've praised Simon Ferry at times and how he kind of almost dictates the tempo and the pace and he drops deep, he almost demands the ball off of the two centre-halves. And I wonder if maybe that kind of worked against us on Tuesday. Because rather than, as you say, the two centre-halves picking up the ball, looking to the wings and maybe picking out, Conroy was the obvious out ball most of the night. Rather than going to him, they would rather make that extra pass into Ferry or into Scott Bowen if he dropped deep and then they played it wide. It's just a case maybe he missed that first pass out and then played it wide, but almost because Ferry and Brown are they're good players, they're important players for us. You're almost, maybe McDonald and Brown are almost saying, like, I need to give it to them and then they can make the passes.
Yeah, almost too reliant on Brown and Ferry to make the passes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I hadn't actually thought of it like that. Yeah, going back on what last night was, there's an argument to say that the ball should have gone wider quicker, but again, we've gone into midfield. It's maybe something that the guys are going to have to look at when teams come to Balmore, which we've seen a few times in the last year or so, where teams will come up and they're quite happy to sit and move to break them down, that they maybe need to, rather than going for the predictable ball in the midfield and in the centre of the pitch, going wide and then trying to force it from there. But I do think that Scott and Simon came deeper than what they had to last night as well to try and get the ball. I'm not saying you need to go front to back pretty quick, but sometimes you do need to miss it in the midfield. But I do feel that the wide areas last night was where we're going to get most of our joy, but it never materialised.
And again, much like the Dumbarton game, there wasn't much in terms of chances created for either side. I don't think, apart from Ryan Conroy free kick, which David Mitchell kind of tipped around the post, which again I'd argue was maybe going wide anyway, but he's just made sure there wasn't much in the way of opportunities.
No, I don't think there was much for either side. I think, as you said, Ryan Conroy, and I think was it Jimison on the left foot from the wing coming in for Clyde, and he's blazed it wide. Chances were at a premium. I think Clyde, when they got to half-time, they'd have been the happier side. They'd come up with a game plan, I felt. They'd executed it well for the first 45 minutes, and you've seen they grew into the game. And we just seem to struggle when we have to break teams down. It's almost like we prefer playing away from home, or when teams that come up against us at Balmour where they're attacking, because it gives us that space in behind, or space in midfield to play that ball wide. But no, we certainly struggled last night, which is disappointing.
So, second half, I mean, the Clyde made one change. They brought on Craig Howie, and he almost made an instant impact. I think we're around about the sort of 65th minute. I mean, if he's going to score a better goal than that, I'd love to see it in his career, because, I mean, that is just absolutely top-drawer stuff. And I don't know when the sort of knock him around, but if he tries that again another 10 times that ball goes blazing over into the down Balmour Road.
I think you can sort of tell by his teammates' reactions. There's quite a few of them, especially defenders. He's taken a shot, he's scored, and defenders sort of just put both their arms in the air. They're almost like stunned, and then they go and run to celebrate. It's one of them, like you said, he could try it 10, 100 times even, and he wouldn't catch it that sweet. Andy McDonald, it's a good ball over the top. He's maybe slightly misjudged, I don't know. We're not at ground level as such. And he's taken on his chest, allowed it to come down. You know, Josh he's good. I think his short stopping is getting better. Obviously, the other week against Stenny, he was questionable. But overall, I think he's a good short stopper. He had no chance of that one last night. Absolutely none at all.
Again, it's one of those kind of ones that you think you get access to sit back and just go, yeah, it was a good hit. But if you rewind back maybe a little bit, it's questionable whether or not it was a free kick to begin with in the middle of the park. You could argue was it or was it not. But again, it's concentration at the back. It's you wouldn't say it's a mistake, but as you said, he's just misjudged the flight of the ball. And it would be, again, another one where you look back again that, and another occasion, he probably deals with it.
Yeah, just going back to whether it was a free kick or not, I think once it wasn't a quick free kick it was taken either. So once the referee's blown his whistle, we've gone back, the guys need to set themselves and be prepared. I don't know if you can be prepared for a strike like what there was, but you've got to be set and got to be ready for it. Like we said, maybe Andy's just slightly misjudged it. Maybe they expected it. The flight of the ball was what it was. But that takes nothing away from a strike. It was a fantastic goal to open the scoring.
And just prior to that goal, Peter had made a couple of changes as well. Stephen Boyd and Ben Armour came off, which to us at the time was a bit of a surprise considering how well Stephen Boyd was playing. If we were going to get anything, it looked as though it was going to come through Boyd.
Yeah, I thought Boyd, up until he was taken off, he's probably our best player. I know the personal circumstances for him and the injury meant that he hasn't, you know, been at training or played as much games as he would have liked. So I can see Jim's just trying to ease him back into it. But like you said, I think our best option last night against him out of the game was through Stephen. I think the couple of rare occasions that we did get the ball out wide and try and force something against Clyde was because of his good movement and good skill in midfield. Ben's always good to get you a goal. Like I said earlier on, he's got that versatility. He can come short or go long and behind the defence. So it was slightly frustrating that we've just gone a goal down and that was the subs that was made. But I'm sure Jim's got his reasons.
Second goal, again, it's come from a mistake. You know, again, Kieran Freeman's probably been one of our better players prior to the suspension. But he's been he's definitely given up this one here. His pass was easily cut out, and then Ali Love. Again, we should just stand back and just actually applaud the pass. Ali Love has managed to pick out Cunningham, and then Cunningham's just going and finished it off.
Yeah, well, it was a fantastic ball in by Ali Love. It was a touch by Cunningham as well. He sort of got the ball on the deck so quick I think that sort of maybe caught Josh by surprise. He's maybe expecting the ball to bit. I think that's maybe why he's so, you know, Josh is so far advanced. That's what I'm trying to say, because I think he maybe expects the ball to bounce at least once. But Cunningham strapped it under his foot, and then good composure by him as well to tip around the keeper. Probably easy to take a shot, try and, you know, beat the keeper pretty early on. But again, good composure from him. So between the first goal and the second goal, you sort of got that impression at 2-0, it just wasn't going to be our night.
Yeah, and if a team's going to come up to Balmoor and sit in, their only opportunities are going to come from Peterhead mistakes. They're going to have to try and take them, and that's exactly what they did. They pounced on the errors at the back, and they scored with their two only opportunities.
Yeah, they didn't need much in an attacking sense last night, but as you rightly said there, they pounced on our mistakes, and that you felt was the only way they were going to really score and win the game from. Which is disappointing from our point of view. I think, as you said a minute or two ago, I think the concentration levels, you know, it's twice, it's a ball over the top. It's maybe something that they need to work on. Whether, I don't know whether they're trying to play offside and getting it completely wrong, or whether Andy's just misjudged it. Only he'll know. But it's certainly something for us to work on.
Do you want to mention the comedy Ali Love moment that I didn't actually pick up yesterday, but you mentioned it to me today, so which I thought was quite funny. So you want to mention it?
Yeah, it's probably not funny, but in terms of the highlight for us last night, it was just interesting. Danny Lennon's shouting on Ali Love to pick up a player, and he's basically just screamed back, but he told me to mark Scott Brown, and Scott Brown's about 20 yards away from Ali Love, so he didn't do a particularly good job of that one either. But yeah, it was funny at the time, probably because we were 2-0 down, and that was what the highlight of our side. But I thought the manager for Clyde, I've been quite critical of a few managers that have been up at Balmoor lately. We didn't hear much shenanigans towards any of the officials last night from Danny Lennon. So, yeah, like I said, I've been critical of managers who have come up. So, on this occasion, we'll give Danny Lennon a wee bit of praise.
No, I'll maybe have to look back at the stream and see if I can find a little tantrum for Ali Love just to get the comedy, because that really was the only highlight.
It was the highlight, wasn't it?
The only highlight for the game. But in terms of Clyde players, I mean, I was impressed with Cunningham. Throughout the game before he scored, I thought he was really good. Ali Love, obviously, again, put in a performance against Peterhead. Jameson as well, obviously didn't score, he played well. So, I mean, you look at the players that played last night and look at the depth of their squad, and you kind of think to yourself, well, they probably will get themselves out of that, but, you know, anyway, they've got two games or three games in hand, so they just have to manage these 11 five away games in 11 days, and get themselves out with it. But I shouldn't really be saying it as a Peterhead fan, but I mean, I think they'll probably get out of it at this point.
I think last night the Otto Rumsby and McNiff, was it?
McNiff, yep.
I thought that three for Clyde were really good last night. I thought Rumsby and Ben Armour had a good tussle going for the first 20-odd minutes. Neither of them really wanted to give up possession when they were in a chase. I thought, given Clyde's, you know, they've shipped a fair few goals in their last couple of games, you know, going back to before Christmas as well. So, no, they came up here with a game plan last night. They executed it really well. And, you know, Danny Lennon's probably looked at it and thought, they've got a point against Montrose and they've got three against Peterhead. They'll be delighted, as you said, going into a tough run of games for them.
Right, let's hear what Jim had to say about the defeat on Tuesday.
Jim, what can you say with that one? You know, obviously, up until they score, we're kind of a totally dominating the game. But again, without looking like scoring. And then, obviously, I mean, that's goal of the season contender, that, you know what I mean? It's a fantastic goal. And after that, you can see we were a bit deflated. It gave them another wee extra spring in their step. And you know, we never recovered for that. We just huffed and puffed. But, you know, even you know, as much as we dominated, like, the first half or whatever, we still didn't have enough attempts at goal, and their goalie didn't have enough saves. So, I think when you assess the games that we've won, even, they're really fine margins. And this league is a league of fine margins. And we've come up the right side of a couple of them. And actually, the way they won the night was the way we kind of won on Saturday, where we'd done this dirty side of the game really well, gave nothing away, and then scored a really good goal, like they did the night to a certain extent. And, you know, when you look at the scores the night again, and it's Falkirk didn't they win, and Partick didn't they win, and it's a tough, tough league.
Is it a frustrating thing for you that with a lot of the ball in the first half, especially that just didn't do enough effort and goal?
Aye. I mean, this is the thing with football. It's like, but sometimes not that healthy having that much of the ball, because it's no easy just to play through teams like when they're set up. Like, I mean, they set up kind of a 4-4-2 and they're deep you know, at the end of the day, we were in good areas, the wide areas. We never get good crosses in. We never really got a, you know, even a break of a second ball. And that seemed to continue. I mean, okay, we started the second half fine, and it looked like up until the goal, we were just going to do the same again, dominate the game. And you're just hoping at some point that you're just going to get a wee break, and or somebody's going to show that bit of quality like we did on Saturday. So, it never materialised, and then obviously when you see the boy score a goal like that, he's a centre half, that boy. And it's just, you just sometimes think, is it one of the nights? Is that what it's going to be? You know. So we've no complaints as far as we never worked their goalkeeper enough. So, you know, for me, football is about winning and having possession and looking nice and playing pretty football. It sometimes doesn't win you nothing, you know.
You took Armour and Boyd off midway through the second half. What was you thinking there?
I mean, Ben was tightening up a wee bit again. He was tired. Boydie's not played in such a long time that, you know, it's a different management setup now. You've got to totally manage it so different than what you usually do. So just making sure that, you know, you're not injuring anybody. And really, that was the case with A2. I mean, Boyd will feel better for the 60 minutes, 70 minutes that he was on, and Ben's got another, you know, he's got another week now to get himself right.
But, so you get another week, everybody gets a wee bit of rest, so hopefully a bit fresher for
next week. Aye, that's what you want. I mean, we don't seem to have any injuries, which is good, you know, we just dust ourselves down and going. I mean, at the end of the day, if somebody said to me, in your first three games you'll get 6 out of 9 points, I would have been happy with that. But it's just disappointing because, you know, you're so close to pushing yourself right in there. And, you know, it looked like we were going to do that just because of the way the game was going, the way we dominated it. But we just get hit with a sucker punch, and it don't come much better than that sucker punch. It was some goal.
Right, obvious kind of disappointment and frustration from Jim. We could tell just by sort of being in the vicinity of him. He's disappointed. He's frustrated because obviously we'd won the first two, and suddenly there's a chance for a playoff here. But it's almost kind of back down to reality again, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be almost like the Stenny game with the cup. It might be a blessing in disguise, the defeat. That whilst, you know, I said it earlier on Saturday, you are looking up the table thinking of what ifs, and, you know, I think with the way the league splits towards the end of the season as well, being in that top five is crucial because you kind of get dragged into that relegation playoff. But it might just be a lot of wake up call thinking that, you know, okay, we've had two good results, but we're far from, you know, the complete article, and we need to you know, you can't just turn up to a game thinking because Clyde's in great form or anything that we're just going to turn up and win. You know, you're almost beaten with that attitude already. So, yeah, I can sense we could sense his frustration last night. As you said, you could tell from your round about him. You could tell by the players' reaction after the game. It was a disappointing night, but you're hoping that disappointment will sort of spur them on for the game next week.
Yep. We also caught up with Captain Scott Brown, so here's what he had to say.
Morning, Scott. How do you sum that one up?
It's frustrating, obviously. I felt like we started the game pretty well, and then for some reason we stopped playing. Felt like that a wee bit. I don't know how it looked to the side, but felt like that on the pitch, and then we kind of played in their hands the last half an hour of the first half by lumping it up the pitch, and they've got two big centre-halves that are going to head it all day, so a wee bit frustrating for that point of view. And to be fair, I think we looked a bit toothless, and no point in bag. Happily take the blame as much as everybody else. We didn't create anything, and could have probably still went out there and no scored, didn't
it? Do you feel it was just one of them games, no matter if it night we weren't got a score?
Yeah, kind of feels like that when you're on the pitch a wee bit, especially when the boys scores a lot, to be fair. But listen, it's not good enough from a point of view. We've had a few games like that this season where Fofa, I think up here, was pretty much the same, where a team comes and is happy to take a point and we end up losing the game. It's not good enough from a point of view. If we're not going to win the game, we need to make sure we don't lose the game, simple as that. And a point probably wouldn't have been the worst result tonight, looking at other results. But listen, it's one of the nights and we need to dust ourselves down and go again. As the gaffers probably say, it's been good since we came back, 6 out of 9, we'd have probably taken that, but it's barely disappointing when it comes to that tonight.
Does it kind of show for Borough as a team that teams are coming up here and sitting in?
There was a lot of respect shown from their point of view tonight, but it's also a wee bit of a reality check. I think that we have won 2 games, but we're nowhere near the finished article. Like, to talk about playoffs and stuff, we maybe are getting a wee bit ahead of ourselves. And listen, first and foremost, it's we stay in the league and hopefully we can go again next season if we're not in that top half then. But as I say, first and foremost, you need to make sure that we're not 10th or 9th, to be fair.
With the league being so tight, are you guys looking more upwards, or are you still worried?
We were looking upwards, but results like that tonight don't help. Simple as that. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to be about the bush and say, oh, we're still looking upwards, because we'll get creeped up on by the bottom two, and all of a sudden you'll find yourself either relegated or another relegation playoff. So listen, we need to make sure we beat Fofa now, and next Tuesday it becomes a massive game. If you beat Fofa, you can start looking up the way, I guess. But listen, we said there, we probably need 4 wins out of 4 now to make the top half.
Scott obviously doesn't take defeat very well, but is he maybe being overly critical of not only the team's performance but of his own performance?
Overcritical. Perhaps, yeah. I think it's also a good thing that they're criticising their own performance. You know, they're not happy with the way last night went either. You know, we're maybe hyping up to something. You know, it is a 2-0 defeat. We're maybe hyping up a wee bit too much. But, you know, he is disappointed. Jim's disappointed. And as he said, we're looking up the table rather than below. But if we're not careful, we can get bitten and dragged into that relegation playoff. I think it's a good thing that players are taking that responsibility and looking at their own performance and thinking, no, we just weren't quite at the races. And again, it'll hopefully spur them on.
Yeah, and as he kind of says as well, that he kind of puts his hands up because they didn't look like scoring. And the amount of goals that he's gotten in recent years, especially last season as well, I know it was just a shortened season and things like that, but he doesn't even look as though he's going to be providing us with a goal at the moment. I know he did score that great goal against East Fife earlier on, but in terms of him getting into the box, it just doesn't seem to be happening at the moment.
No, and I think that is something that Scott has said before. He is known for that late runs into the box. I think the chopping and changing the team with injuries and suspension maybe hasn't helped the stop-start sort of season. You kind of get that rhythm. I think if there's a settled side, but also you're playing so many games in quick succession, it's difficult. I think it's maybe one of them seasons for him on a personal note that, you know, he's providing these happy with his performance apart from last night. I think he's been, you know, a solid player. I think he will come good. It might be into next season before we see the Scott Brown that we're accustomed to and the high standards that he sets himself.
So, as I said, that's been 3 games now in the league since the return. How do you kind of assess the new recruits since they've come in? I know most of them have played the majority of the time. So, first of all, we'll look at Naya Pei. How do you assess him?
I think he's a good player. I think the first time we've seen him in the first 20 minutes, I thought he looked, he's got a good bit of pace about him, especially on the wing. It looks like he's an attacking winger. I think wingers nowadays seem more inclined to cut inside or look for the easy option with the pass backwards to the fullback or inside. But no, I think he's good. He's got a good work rate, even on small things like he encourages his players. We see him on the sidelines. At Balmour, he's always encouraging and shouting comments to his players. So yeah, I think he'll be a good addition to the squad.
I think the only criticism I think I've got of Naya Payne, and it's maybe not a criticism of him, but I just don't think Jim really knows where to play him yet. We've seen him playing up front. We've seen him playing in a wide area. We've seen him playing as a number 10. So I don't think Jim really quite knows how he's going to fit in. He knows he wants them to fit in somewhere, but he just doesn't know where.
Yeah, it's strange. I think he's better suited as a winger, but I can see Jim maybe wants to play him up top or in the number 10 role, but he's not quite suited to either sort of role. He sort of like twixt in between. It's strange, but I think he's certainly got something about him, that little bit of quality, so I think I can see why Jim's trying to get him into the squad.
Defender Andy McDonald come in from Elgin. How's he looked in your eyes?
Okay. I think the fact that he hasn't played like many players for so long, it'll take him out a couple of weeks to just settle down. I think last night maybe wasn't his best performance, but you know, against Airdrie and Dumbarton, I thought he was good. So yeah, I think again there's certainly a player there. Just maybe last night wasn't the best the nights for him.
I think it's much more difficult for a defender to settle in.
Yeah,
because they are literally the last line of defence. So, I mean, if there's any mistakes, then they're much more exposed. But I think, certainly that you know, we're assuming we're going to try and keep most of these guys for next season. So, you know, a proper pre-season under their belts and a full season, we might see the best of them.
But I would say since Andy's come in, you've got a clean sheet against Airdrie. Okay, they were down at time end, but a clean sheet at Dumbarton. The goal that we conceded to Steny was, you know, questions on the goalkeeping. So, you know, on that basis, he's done good. It was maybe just under asking that question on the back of last night's performance, maybe just slightly clouds of judgment. But, no, I think he is a good player.
Hamish Ritchie, I think he's been fantastic so far.
Aye, absolutely. I think he's maybe one of the better players that we've signed in recent years. I know it's on loan, but based on what we've seen in the first couple of games, I certainly think that Jim maybe even looking towards next season, seeing if he can be a part of the squad plans.
I think, unfortunately, and it probably goes for much of the team on Tuesday night, but he had a quiet game, which, you know, it might happen again because of the lack of games that they've played.
Yeah, it's probably unfortunate that they've all seemed to have had a below par performance in the same game. Sometimes you get away with one or two throughout the game, but last night it just seemed to be a combination of everyone having a poor game. But Hamish, when he did come off, when he walked up the stand, he was disappointed with his own performance. I think he said that to one of the players as well. So, you know, again, it's one of them situations where they're taking responsibility for their own performance. And, you know, Hamish, he's playing the Island League. It's where he's contracted to, but he's making that step up to League One. He's disappointed with some of his performances. So, again, it's good professionalism on his part.
And Kieran McGrath, the last one, not hadn't played too much as yet. So maybe a little early for us to kind of critique him slightly. But, again, he's in terms of body shape and things like that, he looks very similar to Ben Armour.
Yeah, I think Jim's got a certain type of player that he maybe wants up front. Isaac didn't quite fit the bill in terms of his attitude and application, but if Kieran come in and certainly chip in with a goal or two or an assist along the line, then I'm sure it'll be a welcome addition. Like you've rightly said, it's early days for him. He hasn't played much minutes, but I'm sure before Jim's brought him in, he certainly feels there's a player there.
So we now look forward to next week's game. There is a week's grace, I guess, to kind of to relax, recuperate slightly. Forfar away, again, on paper, it should look pretty one-sided. However, Forfar picked up a vital a point on Tuesday night. So again, it just proves again that, and we've said it so many times on this podcast over the last year or so, it's so difficult, this league. You know, people will take points off of everybody.
Yeah, it's fine margins. I think Tuesday's game, because it has become a lot bigger, the fact that we got beat by Clyde. I think if we'd beaten Clyde, that gap between the bottom teams is extended. We got beat last night, Forfar got their point. And Forfar's point of view, they'll be thinking, if you beat Peterhead, you drag them right back in the mix. We want to go the opposite way. So both teams will have you know, their own motivation for getting the 3 points. But yeah, it's a crucial game for both sides, and I certainly think that it's one that we need to be very aware of going into the game. You know, you can't just go down there thinking, you know, if we turn up, you know, we can get 3 points. We've really got to apply ourselves and do better than what we did last night.
It's almost like the game of last season prior to the lockdown and things like that. You know, where we drew 1-1 on the Tuesday night, where had we won that game, we would have pulled further away from Forfar and almost cemented ourselves for staying in the league for the next season. But Forfar got themselves a draw, and you know, that's the kind of slip up you don't want again now as we head down to Station Park.
Yeah, absolutely, I would agree with you there. Forfar on that night sort of rode their luck a wee bit when they got their point. I think we've got to go down there. We've got to be in the front foot. It's maybe one of them games that you can think, oh, we'll maybe take a point. I think you've got to go down there and try and get 3 points. I think if you do that, it certainly puts a big gap between yourselves and the bottom clubs. I think Clyde, with the fixture congestion they've got, their tiredness will creep in, maybe in game 3, 4 and 5. So then picking up maximum points, you would think would be hard to do. So yeah, it becomes a big game in terms of the overall picture with Clyde and Forfar doing there. I think if we want to be clear of relegation, even contenders for that relegation playoffs, and being in the top 5 for the split, then it is a game that we've got to go down there and win.
Yeah, because I think this is the last one before the split where you would think yeah we should get something out of that one. In terms of, you know, getting a win, I should say, because, you know, we've got Partick Thistle, East Fife and Falkirk to come after that. So, I mean, they're not going to get any easier. So, if you're going to try and get away from Forfar in the league, beating them is the best way to do it.
Yeah, we looked at it last week and we thought with Dumbarton, Clyde and Forfar, you really need to be trying to pick up minimum of 6, ideally 9, but obviously we now know that the maximum we can get is 6 because you've got that tough fixture list coming up as well. So I think it is a crucial game on Tuesday, given the fact that the teams that we've got to play, like you said.
Yep, so we've got that to look forward to next week then. As I said, we've got no game on Saturday because the Scottish Cup returns. So as I said, we've got a free weekend, and now we can look forward to next Tuesday, which means again that we'll be back again next week on the Wednesday instead. So we'll be back then. But until then, my thanks to Martin for joining me as always, and we obviously thank you all for listening. As I said, we'll be back again next week, next Wednesday, around about the same kind of time. So until then, we'll see you then. Cheers.